Well, if you did your lessons this week and you were paying attention, she referenced what I'm just getting ready to talk about. And she talked about how she had to make a decision at this point in the curriculum where you guys are to get out of the cages. And so let me just recap where we're at in the curriculum. We started off with the letter H, where we just cried help and we admitted, man, okay, I'm here because I'm broken and I'm powerless to heal on my own. So I'm looking for something else. And maybe it is found in the walls of a church. Maybe it's found in the body of Christ. Maybe it's found in the person of Jesus Christ who came to this earth to show us what God is like. And maybe if God is God, he's got the answers and he can help me. So we started off and we said help. And then we continued to look towards that God with the letter E and the call to take the step to entirely trust God, to investigate who God is, to come to him curious, to come to him in faith, and to trust that he is loving and powerful. And then we've been working for 3 weeks on the letter A. And it's always a rough season for me going through assessing the situation. We talked about digging up the buried bombs, bringing in a bomb squad. We talked about confessing our sin to others. We did that in our step groups. We encouraged you to find a trusted Christian adult and peer and begin to confess all the brokenness in your life to them. And now we're moving on to the letter L. Tonight we're talking about life change. And here's a little quote. Now you can go to the quote that bridges the A to the L. And a friend shared this with me a couple years ago, and it really stuck with me. He said, at this point in regeneration, you have to understand that confession without what we're about to talk about, which is repentance, turning and walking the other way, confession without repentance, without life change, that's just a biblical word for life change, is just an announcement. So if you get to this point, you dig up all your buried bombs, and you bring in a bomb squad, but then you take it and disarm it, but then you just live in the dug up ground that you just, you know, dug up, you're not rebuilding your new life. And so if you don't repent and turn and walk a new way and build a new life, you're just making an announcement that, yeah, there were a bunch of bombs here, pretty bad, but your life isn't actually changing. And so this week's lessons and what you're going to talk about in your step groups is all about life change. We take action now and we make changes that God wants us to make in our lives. So this is when it's really put to the test, the letter E, whether or not you entirely trust God. And so I want to give you a visible image of something that was written in your lessons. Have you guys seen any news stories like this or ever had them forwarded or, you know, heard somebody talk about lion attacks a trainer during performance at a circus in France? So where these people, they call themselves lion trainers and they get into cages with lions and they put on a show and then they're surprised when the headline says lion attacks man. Here's another one. A lion attacked at a Russian circus, leaving a four-year-old in intensive care. There's a bite on her face that goes from ear to chin. So the lion trainer thought he was so cool and had such a good handle on this lion that he brought a child into the cage with him. Here's another one. There's tons of these if you look them up. Lion attack. British man mauled by a big cat that he had raised since it was a cub before the animal had to be put down. And so many of our sin struggles, like we treat them like a little cub, like it's cute. And we know that someday it might be dangerous, but right now we're in control of it. And sometimes some of the things that we learn later are sins, were things we formerly loved and had great affection for and we desired greatly, just like you would love a pet. But then eventually it grows up and we can't control it anymore and it ends up hurting us. So I showed you the articles. I want to give you an even more powerful visual because I want this to stick with you. So we're going to bring the lights down, watch a quick video of this man who raised his big cat. I won't show you the rest of the clip, but here's some screenshots because it's a little too graphic. But he grabbed the dude, took him down, and dragged him away. He kind of took him away from the fence, and then he left him there for a second, let go, looked up at the people around the fence who were all yelling at him. Then a few more screenshots. He went back at him again and grabbed him and started dragging him around and shaking him. The man actually survived, but as you can imagine, he had some significant injuries. So these articles and these videos that you can find on YouTube, these examples, they show us that over and over again, humans think, some humans, not all, think it's a good idea at some point for some reason to get in the cage with a lion. And you guys understand a lion is what like biologists will call an apex predator, which means it is at the top of the food chain. It means his main job is killing other animals. So why do I show you this and I talk about lions being an apex predator? It's because some of you, as I already mentioned, some of you have gotten mauled by the cubs that you've raised for a while. Some of you have gotten hurt by your sin, and some of you keep getting mauled by your sin over and over again because you keep getting into cages. You keep getting around people and putting yourself in situations where you're tempted or where things attack and kill you. And so what are those things for you? I've worked with teenagers here for many, many years, and you know, some of the things that are really obvious that would be like a lion cage would be like your phone. Like every time you get on your phone, lust ends up mauling you. Comparison to others ends up mauling you. Being addicted to the approval of others and their response and their feedback and their engagement with you ends up mauling you and breaking your heart. I'm talking about the environments that get you into trouble. Your phone creates an environment that invites you into it, but it may be a certain team that you're on. Just there's a surrounding where every time you're in it, you're tempted to go down a road you don't want to go down. Maybe it's your school, your entire school. You're stuck in an ecosystem that continues to drag you down. Or maybe it's, man, I'm pretty fine in my school and around my friends and on my phone, but every time I go to a concert with that group of people at that venue, I end up getting into trouble. That could be a lion cage for you. Certain parties with groups of people. Maybe it's not your phone in general, but certain apps, every time you get on it, you end up getting into trouble. But what are the lion cages, the environments and the places you go that get you into trouble? And so this week in your lessons, you address this, and we looked at really just one scripture throughout the lessons, and I want to recap it for you here real quickly. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 tells the story of a man named Levi. Jesus was out on the shoreline of a big lake, and he was teaching the crowds that were coming to him, and as he walked along, probably after he got done teaching, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and he was a tax collector, a man who was despised and hated as a traitor of his people, who was cheating them, stealing from them, and profiting off of their suffering. He was a rich guy in town that was in control and was powerful, but was hated by most. And he sees him sitting in his tax collector's booth. Now, to use the analogy for tonight, that was his lion cage, because tax collecting was where he lied, where he cheated, where he betrayed his people, where he was dishonest, and it was the thing that made him hated by all and probably isolated him and made him alone, except from the company of other tax collectors. So he's sitting there in his lion's cage, in his tax collector's booth, and Jesus simply says, "Follow me and be my disciple." And it's stunning to look at what happens next. It says, "So Levi got up and he followed him." And the lessons this week and my message for you tonight is that some of you need to get up and you need to change your environments. You need to physically move and get out of one place and into another in order to follow Jesus and be obedient to his call on your life. So I want to recap what we saw in our lessons, and I want to just tell you clearly, these are three ways that you can change your life. The first one is get out of the cage. The way we talk about this sometimes in regeneration is change your playground. Change your playground. Change where you are spending your time. It's a location thing. It's an environment thing. Levi realized that his tax collector's booth was his cage, and so he got up. Some of you need to get up and physically move. Back to the scripture, and we'll talk more about number two. Later, right after that, this is verse 15. We just saw verse 13 and 14. It says, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with his old friends, tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus's followers. So the second thing that we saw Levi do was he walked with the wise. All right, as he got up, he left his tax collector booth, and then he invited Jesus and Jesus's followers, the disciples, to come to his house. He started to make new friends. He didn't completely forsake and abandon all of his old friends, but he knew if his life was going to change and he was going to follow Jesus, he needed to walk with other people who were following Jesus. My mom used to say this to me all the time. I can't forget it because it rhymes, so I'm going to say it to you. She used to say, David, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold. And she had a song, I'm not going to sing it, but she would sing that song to me. And I think it's really true, is that some of you guys have old friends that keep pushing you into lions' cages, that keep dragging you in with them to lions' cages, and they're creating environments where sin is getting the best of you. And some of you, I'm not telling you, you need to abandon those friends and never talk to them again. You keep the old. But some of you need to make new friends. You need to start to surround yourself with people who also want to follow Jesus and who don't want to go into those same lion cages. Walk with the wise. Change your playmates. So change your playground where you go and change who you're playing with on that playground. And you walk with the wise. There's a quote that is in your book that I wanted to put on the screen. It says this. It says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I really think that's true. Is that we become like the people we hang around. And it's not just my idea, and it's not just Jim Rohn's idea. This comes from the scripture. Look at what Proverbs 13:20 says. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. So the people you hang out with and you spend time with, you become like them. So if you're spending time with wise people, people have recognized what lion cages are and they want to stay out of them, and people have recognized who Jesus Christ is and they want to walk close with him, those are wise people. If you surround yourself and you seek out friendships with those people, you become like those people. But if you associate with fools, people that wander into lion cages and think the lion's not going to attack them, because they've raised the cub and they think they're in control of it, and then they get got. You associate with fools, you get in trouble. Scripture gives you this very clear warning. And then the third thing that we see from his story is we talked about in your lessons, get out of the cage, walk with the wise, and then we begin to work on a repentance plan. Because we change our playground, we change our playmates, and then we change our purpose. This is one of my favorite things about this story. This guy Levi, who was a tax collector, he started following Jesus, and then his life began to change. Everything about his life began to change, and he's walking the steps towards healing because he's walking the steps towards Jesus. And then Jesus looks at him one day, and we don't have the story recorded, but we know it happened, and he said, you are so different, I'm going to change your name because you're a new person. And he changed his name from Levi to Matthew. And Matthew, this guy who was a hated tax collector stuck in a lion cage, who just took one step of faith to get up and follow Jesus and then invited Jesus and his followers to become friends with him, he ended up writing the first book of the New Testament of the Bible. The book of Matthew was written by this guy. The whole purpose of his life changed. Before, his purpose was make myself happy, rich, comfortable, and powerful, no matter what it costs anyone else. And that lifestyle trapped him. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. And he got a new purpose for his life. It wasn't about himself anymore. It was about telling the world about Jesus. And when he embraced that purpose, God gave him the opportunity to influence literally billions of people throughout human history from that point on. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And one of the authors that is most read is this guy. And God can do the same with you. If you will get up, get out of your cage and follow him and invite his followers into your life, and you'll change your playmates, it will change your purpose. So life change this week. We take action. We make changes that God wants to make in our lives. We repent, we turn and walk the other way, and we follow Jesus. So here are three questions. Take a picture of this screen and we'll get you out of here to your room so you'll have a good about 50, 55 minutes in your step groups. The first question that I want you guys to wrestle with and consider and discuss in addition to your book work is, hey, what are the lion cages that you know you need to stop going into? It's like when you walk in that room, it's fresh on your mind. You just saw a lion like grab a guy and drag him around, and you're realizing, man, sin has got the best of me. And it happens when I'm in these environments. What are those cages? Secondly, who gets you into trouble? How do those associations need to change? All right, some of you guys, I don't want you to just ditch your friends and say, I hate you, I'm never going to talk to you again. But some of you guys need to get out of some group texts. You need to maybe delete some contacts. You need to say no to some invitations. And you need to invite some new friendships into your life. So what needs to change there? And then number three, what's your specific action plan for life change? You worked on your repentance plan and get specific on, man, here's what I need to change. I know in my life. And tell somebody. It helps to say it out loud. Get their encouragement. Get their support. Get them to ask you about it next week when you come in here. All right, let me pray for you, and then we'll get to our step groups. Lord, I pray that this would be a productive evening, that you would help us to just have great clarity as we speak and talk things out loud and process verbally the things that you're showing us. I pray that you'd show everyone in this room just tax collector booths that are holding them back from your purpose for their life. I pray that you would show them people in their life that are also leading them astray. I pray that you'd point them to you, to a new direction, to following you, and that you would bring others into their life that would support their faith and support their pursuit of Jesus Christ. So would you help them to connect with a church or with a group of people that are taking their faith very seriously and that want to encourage and strengthen them? And I pray that you would show them quickly how great it is, how free it is, how much love and how much peace and how much joy there is in the body of Christ. Would you help them to fight off any lies that church is trying to take life from them, that church is boring, that church is restrictive, but would you help them to discover and see clearly the freedom that is found in a changed life that's devoted to following you? And Lord, would you show them just specific actions you want them to take from your word in obedience to you and give them the courage and strength to do it? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, back here at 8 o'clock, you got about 53 minutes to discuss your repentance plan and life change and all that. Have a great time, guys.